Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya चार की ओमज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. So for the past few weeks, we were discussing about qualities of a pure devotee. So there are 88 qualities of a pure devotee explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 11, verse 29 to 32. So we discussed the first 14 qualities of a pure devotee. And so this week we will be discussing the qualities 15 to 21. So the first quality Krishna explains to Udva is Shanta. So what's the English term for Shanta? Shanta means peaceful. So when we think about it, we wonder when the person is peaceful. First of all, a person is peaceful when his mind is in peace. So most of the time, our mind is so agitated that it's going all over the places and then getting attached and attracted to so many different things using the senses. So the mind is, most of the time, for many people, it's restless. So as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, so a person will attain peace only when his mind rests on the soul. So that is the peace formula in Krishna consciousness. So how it can be done? When we think about it, Arjuna asked that it's not easy to control the mind, Krishna. And Krishna says that the mind can be controlled through two things, practice and detachment. So practice means what? Practice means practice of devotional service. So the mind can be trained to do actions which are favorable to our Krishna consciousness. So even though the mind is engaged in so many different activities, if it is devoted to Krishna, then the mind is directly connected to the soul, because the soul is connected to Krishna. But if our mind is involved in so many different activities which are not really favorable to Krishna consciousness, then it's always disturbed. So the best peace formula, again, is to do Krishna consciousness. And then for Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya was very merciful that he actually gave us the great medicine of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And moreover, a person who is completely surrendered to Krishna, his mind is always peaceful. His actions are very peaceful. And his nature is very peaceful. Because this person totally understands that everything belongs to Krishna and everything happens for some reason, and Krishna will make the perfect arrangement for my life. So that's the complete surrender. So if the person is fully convinced and have firm faith that Krishna is in charge and he is going to take care of my life, what happens? He is not worried. He is always on peace, because he knows that Krishna will make arrangements and Krishna will takes care of his life. So in that sense, one may say that if a person is just peaceful, does it mean that the person is inert or like he is in inertia, you know, not acting? But that is not the case. Internally, the person is very peaceful, even though internally he is very peaceful, but externally, the devotee is involved in all sort of activities, in serving Krishna and his devotees. So, here Shanta means peaceful of the, peacefulness of the person comes from peacefulness of the mind, actions, and activities. So this is Shanta. So the next quality Krishna explains is Sthira. Sthira means one who is fixed and one who is also steady. So what does it mean to be fixed? What does it mean to be steady? So it actually comes from determination of the person. So what does determination means? So determination means that I will do devotional service with full faith and full confidence in Krishna. So that's determination. So and when a person is completely fixed and steady in his service, you know, in terms of serving Krishna and also his devotees and also to the mankind in general, not only for mankind in terms of like humans but also to other living entities, which also includes animals, things like that. So this person, what are the qualities he exhibits when he is determined, when he is fixed, when he is steady? So this person, first of all, he is not restless. So a person who is determined to do something, you know, even in a logical sense, even in any mundane activity for that matter, so if a person is determined to do something, you know, that person wants to do it. But the only difference is, a person who is determined in Krishna consciousness, in devotional service, he is not restless. Because a person who is just determined to do something, you know, he always, many times, he is just restless because he wants that particular thing to get it done. So he may be thinking 100 different ways or 1,000 different things, how to make it happen and things like that. So many times he is just restless. So running around doing different things, huh? But for a person who is fixed in Krishna consciousness, he is not restless. But at the same time, he is very active, as we discussed in the previous quality. So he is very active in executing his devotional service. What is the second quality of a person who is fixed or steady? He is fearless. So, what's the difference? A person who is materially attached, who actually wants to do so many different things, because of his attachment to the material action or material object for that matter, he is always in the fear of losing it. Okay, so I actually have this today, but what happens if it actually goes away from me? It also includes, sorry to say this, our friends and relatives. Because we are so attached to that. We are so attached to the material objects and also to our, you know, friends and relatives and family and everything. So we always have this fear that what it actually goes away from me, for any reason for that matter. But a person who has the right knowledge in Krishna consciousness, he is not fearful because he completely understands the fact that all material and immaterial objects, including the people whom we spend time with, the people with whom we interact with, including the devotees, belongs to Krishna. So everyone who is in the material world has to go through the four things. That's the only deal. So Janma, Mrityu, Jara and Vyadi. Birth, death, old age and disease. This can't be avoided. So in that sense, a person with the right understanding knows that everything belongs to Krishna, everything comes from Krishna, and all these wonderful people and wonderful objects are meant to be used or utilized in serving Krishna. But at the same time, this person knows that these are all temporary. Which actually put us into kind of like really fearful situation. So the more we mature in our Krishna consciousness, the more the fearless we become. If a person is conditioned with so much of fear, that means that he or she has to mature more. And where the fear is coming from? Fear is coming from attachment. Because we are attached, we are in the fearful state that we may lose it. So, practicing Krishna consciousness removes this layer of fear from our consciousness, so that we are completely surrendered to Krishna, and then Krishna takes care of us. So the example we can see is in Mahabharata, you know, when we can think about Draupadi. Draupadi, she was in a fearful state of losing her prestige, because like Dushasan was trying to disrobe her. So she tried to protect herself through different means. But she couldn't do it after a certain stage. So what she had to do is, she just had to surrender to Krishna. So that is a fearless state. Surrender also means fearless state. So when a person gets into that state, what happens? Krishna takes care of the person. So the person is automatically fearless because he knows that Krishna will take care of him or her. So that is sthira. Sthira means a person who is fixed and steady and determined. The person is determined because he is not, one, restless, two, he is not fearful. So the next quality is sharanagata. Sharanagata means fully surrendered. So what is the symptom of a person who is completely surrendered to Krishna? We may hear so many people saying that, oh, I am completely surrendered to Krishna. So what is the symptom? A person who is completely surrendered to Krishna means he is always serving Krishna. As Prabhupada writes in a lot of the letters to his disciples and his well-wishers, that, you know, now you have this opportunity of the human body, so you should serve Krishna 24 hours a day. The initial stages, when the movement was growing, Prabhupada was telling his followers that you should go and preach the message of Lord Chaitanya vigorously. So 24 hours. So a person who is fully surrendered, what it means that he is always serving Krishna. Okay. But there is one small point that needs to be added with this, which is, even though there are so many people who spend so much of time and energy in service of Krishna, there are two things which are very important while executing the service. One is attentiveness. The second one is love. These are very important. So you may probably do some service just because you are obliged to do so, or because you feel like doing it, or you know someone forced you to do it, or for any other reason. But if it doesn't have any love, if it doesn't have attentiveness, then what happens? It definitely gives you some, you know, some good result because you are doing devotional service. But at the same time, if you think deep about it, if you don't do it with attentiveness and also with love, then it just becomes akarma, pretty much like akarma. Any karma which doesn't bring any karma out of it. And then you can see by the example of how it's expressed. Let's say, like, if you do something with a lot of love, the outcome will be like really nice. You know, it's really glorious. Let's say I was just asking this afternoon who actually made the garlands for Sri Sri Radha Gopi Vallabha today. And if you just looked into that, they are like so beautiful. So that means that the person who actually did that, of course other deities as well, but the person who has done it was very attention to detail. At the same time, he or she had done it with so much of love. So you can see from the practical outcome of it, it's like they look so beautiful. Right? Anyway, so that's a symptom of a person who is fully surrendered, always serving Krishna attentively and with love. And also understanding the fact that his or her eternal constitutional position is to be the servant of the Krishna. So in that sense, he is always engaged in Krishna's service. So that's Saranagata. And then the next quality is Muni. It can also be expressed as Mauni. I mean, a person who is silent. Silent also means the person is very thoughtful. So again, very similar to the previous quality. What it means to be thoughtful. Thoughtful means thoughtful in executing the devotional service for Krishna and also the interaction with fellow devotees. So thoughtful also means that we try to avoid making offenses to the fellow devotees so that our own devotional service doesn't get affected by that. Because as you all know, there are different kind of offenses we may commit against the Lord and his devotees. We have Nama Aparadha, which is the offense against the holy name. We have Seva Aparadha, offense against the service we do in the temple and also to the fellow devotees. And then Dhamma Aparadha. Dhamma Aparadha means, like in the temple, we are living and we are serving Sri Sri Radha Gopi Vallabha and other lordships. So if we commit offenses to the Dham, to the temple, that is Dham Aparadha. And also the final one is most important, which is the Vaishnava Aparadha. Vaishnava Aparadha in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's given that it's like a mad elephant Aparadha. So what it means that you have this little plant which is trying to grow from the seed in the land when there was some fresh rain, and then it's trying to grow. Our bhakti, our devotion to Krishna is like that. And what happens if a mad elephant comes and like puts the leg on that little plant? Everything gets spoiled. So that's like a, the Vaishnava Parada is like a mad elephant, which can affect our creeper of devotion, Bhakti Lata Bija, right? So, in that sense, we should be very thoughtful in our actions, in executing devotional service and also to the fellow devotees. And the other thing is, being silent also means that when we speak topics related to Krishna, which we try so hard to do, but not easy at times, because we have so much to discuss. So, in that sense, it's better to be quiet, it's better to be silent, than talking too much about the mundane subjects. So this is what Krishna is saying here. So he's encouraging us to speak more about him and his pastimes and his devotees. Or you remain silent, you remain thoughtful. That is acceptable. So that's Muni or Mauni. And the next one is Apramatta. Apramatta means the devotee is vigilant or sober. So what does vigilant mean? So the person is the person that the devotee who is vigilant about his spiritual growth. It's more like he is always contemplating and then keeping an eye on where he is going and whether the actions he is performing is on the right track. As we always say that we do things which are favorable to our Krishna consciousness and we try to avoid things which are not favorable to our Krishna consciousness, right? So, if you are performing some actions, you know, and then the devotee is always vigilant, okay, am I doing the right thing? Maybe I'm not doing the right thing. And then he always goes, he or she always goes and talk to other devotees, asking that whether I'm spiritually progressing. There is nothing wrong in that. You can always go and ask the other person. Not like every 5 minutes you go and ask someone that, you know, what do you think about my spiritual progress? Not like that. But occasionally you go and ask, like, you know, Prabhu and Mataji, and then, you know, whether I'm in the right direction and what needs to be done. And then do you find something which is not very favorable to my Krishna consciousness growth? And then, you know, and you know, you also need to use your intelligence to find the right person, because, you know, sometimes what happens, if the person is not very favorable to your Krishna consciousness, he or she may probably say something which actually takes you in the other direction, which you want to, you know, you try to avoid that. So in that sense, you have to use your intelligence and discretion to choose someone who can give you the right guidance. Not like you go and ask every devotee in the temple. I'm just giving an example. But everyone has the, you know, the Siksha Gurus, spiritual guide, also the, you know, one Gurus and also Siksha Gurus means one who can also give you instructions on how to lead the devotional life properly. And then, how do we know that we are progressing in Krishna consciousness? One may ask, how do you know, Prabhu, you know, whether I'm progressing in Krishna consciousness? So the answer is, you stop doing things which are materially motivated, or you will probably do much to a much lesser extent compared to the past. What it means that if a person is having, let's say, you know, want to play some games, let's say solitaire or something like that. I'm just giving an example. And then initially you may probably be too attached in doing that. But when you're progressing, your attachment to that particular activity gets really low. And then you see that, oh, I used to be very attached to this, but I'm not attached to this particular thing anymore. What is the reason? Then if you contemplate on that and if you think about it, that you are actually getting attached to more devotional activities and devotional service. So that is the sign, that is the symptom that you are progressing, that you are getting detached and little bit of aversion to, I would say, to many things which we were attached in the past. The example is also given that, like when we were like 3 or 5 year old or 6 year old, we are attached to dolls, you know, and then some toys and things like that. But if you're 26, or if you're 35, and if you're still attached to the toys, then it's a different story, right? So it's like that. So initially we are attached to so many different things, but the attachment to those things slowly goes away. So that's what? Apramatta. So that's vigilant. Your devotee is sober. So the next one is Gabhiratma. Gabhiratma means a devotee who is deep. Also means that a devotee who is grave. So where does the graveness come from? So some people think that, oh, this particular person is very grave. He or she doesn't interact or socialize too much. What it means that it's not necessarily that, you know, he or she may not have the social skills, but it also means that that person is naturally very grave. So when will we become very grave? We become very grave and deep when we are thinking about something so deeply, right? So for a person who is a pure devotee, his thoughts are always absorbed in what? Krishna and his pastimes and how to serve Krishna and how to serve his devotees. So in the social norm, he or she may look like they are not communicating too much, but they are always thinking about how to serve Krishna, so they are always involved in some kind of activities, Krishna conscious activities. So, which can't be really understood by the gross materialist, why they are being like that. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopi Vallabha Ki Jai. So that is Gabhiratma, or a devotee is very deep, or a devotee is very grave. And the final one is Dhritiman. So what does Dhritiman means? The devotee is firm. So what does being firm means? So, being firm means completely controlling his mind and senses. That is firmness. And also, it means that the person is in pretty much the stage of nishtha. Nishtha means firm faith. So we have different stages we go through while becoming perfect devotees, right? So first is Shraddha. Shraddha means we have some faith. Okay, I want to go to temple, Hare Krishna temple. I go there and I meet with people there. Some faith coming there. And then you have sadhu sangha, you associate with people who serve Krishna, elevated souls, those sadhus, devotees, sadhu sangha. And then once you pass, you know, past this stage, you are involved in bhajana kriya. So what is bhajana kriya means? Bhajana kriya means you, with the fellow devotees, you hear and you chant, you read about Krishna and his pastimes, and then, you know, and the fourth stage is anartha nivritti. Anartha nivritti is the stage where lot of us are just stuck. Anartha nivritti means like we are in the process of washing away a lot of material attachments from the heart. That is anartha nivritti. So it probably takes for some people like one or two lifetimes. For someone, it takes like probably like 20 lifetimes, or 30 lifetimes, maybe 100 lifetimes, who knows. So everyone is going through the anartha nivritti process. So once you cross that anartha nivritti stage, then you get into the stage of nishta, which I was talking about. Nishta means firm faith. So what does firm faith means? That everything comes from Krishna, and I'm a surrendered soul, and Krishna will take care of my life. And then you actually don't do any activities which are materially motivated or materially attractive. So all your activities are completely dovetailed in serving Krishna and his devotees. That's the nishtha stage. So a dhritiman is very firm and have complete faith. He is in nishtha to serve Krishna. And he or she is unaffected by the different modes of material nature, which is goodness, passion and ignorance, and also the uncertainties and all the troubles and tribulations and the, you know, toughness which actually comes through in the form of material life. Krishna explains in one of the verses that a person in firm faith, I mean, he or she is not disturbed by the heat or cold, happiness or distress, morning, night, cold Boston winter, warm South African weather. So he or she is not, you know, disturbed. So wherever he or she is, they are completely absorbed in Krishna's service. So they are willing to take any kinds of austerity to serve Krishna. So those persons are very firm, very steady. So in the only difference between this one, dhritiman, and the sthira, which actually means the fixed, which we discussed before, is sthira normally means controlling your own activities, your own mind, and your own senses while executing devotional service. But dhritiman means a person who is completely firm and fixed. So that pretty much comes from the heart in one sense. The determination comes from the heart. That stage is kind of a blessing in one sense, because Krishna is actually giving this person the firm faith and the determination so he or she can serve him nicely. So there is a bit of a kickstart, there is a bit of a help coming from Krishna for the person who is dhritiman. Even though these two qualities are there in the devotee, the only difference is how the person controls the senses and the mind and things like that, and the other one is the help which is actually coming from Krishna to do so. So that's dhritiman. So just a quick recap. So we went through these seven qualities: Shanta, peaceful, Stira, fixed, Sharanagata, fully surrendered, Mauni, silent or thoughtful, Apramatta, vigilant or sober, and Gabhiratma, deep or grave, and Dhritiman, which means firm and steady. So we will go through the last 7 qualities of the pure devotee next week. Okay. Any questions? Yes. You tolerate.
So it might bother you, but you don't react.
You are totally fixed. I mean, like, so when a person who is in Nishta, you are very much connected to, you are very much connected to your soul. So the bodily conception of life is, it doesn't bother you too much. One example given in Srimad Bhagavatam is, I will probably give this example from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur is the Namacharya, right? So he was chanting Hare Krishna continuously for 22 hours. And then he was born as a Muslim person, but he was completely absorbed in the holy name. So the Mohammedan ruler, the Muslim ruler at the time in India, he was not very happy about what Haridas Thakur was doing. So what he did was, he ordered his servants to cane Haridas Thakur in 22 different marketplaces. So Haridas Thakur was caned, like whipped, by the servants of this ruler. But still, even though he actually went through so much of trouble, but still he was still fixed. So he tolerated it, and then he still chanted Hare Krishna.
So this is also like
Krishna
Jesus Christ.
I mean, here we are talking about Jesus Christ, his exalted personalities, you know, God equivalent. So in that sense, we can really speculate, you know, whether it really bothered him or not. But the only thing is, you know, it might have bothered him, or it might not have bothered him, because he was completely fixed up, you know, in his own consciousness. Even God has his own consciousness, you know, even Krishna meditates. Don't think that, oh, we are the one who have to meditate and chant Hare Krishna. You know, even Krishna meditates. It's explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, and also in other scriptures, that when Krishna was a householder, his daily duty was like get up in the morning and then spend 1 hour meditating. So one may ask, like, oh, everyone meditates on Krishna. Whom he is meditating to? He's meditating on his own self. So these people are, you know, the great personalities are fully fixed up in their consciousness. So they are not identifying themselves with their body. That's one way of explaining it. Yeah. Any other questions?
I have a question that's unrelated to this. It's unrelated to what we discussed. I just wanted to know, she doesn't feature in that for like, you know, quite some time until with Arjun and like that. So I'm just wondering, like, why is that?
Well, the same goes with Radharani as well. Because she was involved in the initial pastimes. And after that, when Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Dwaraka, all these gopis and Srimati Radharani, they were like so perturbed. I mean, they were so worried that Krishna is leaving them. But even though he may have physically left them, but he never left them, because Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. He's always there. So it's for the Leela purpose, it's just for the pastime purpose. The other way of answering that question is, these people, they always have Krishna in their heart. So Krishna never leaves. So even though he may, go and do different activities, it's like giving an example of a child and the father. Not mother, nowadays everyone is working. So, the child, even though the father gets up or mother gets up in the morning, prepare, breakfast, lunch, give to the child and then go to office or do any activities in the outside world, but still both the child and the mother and the father, they're still thinking about each other. Even though they may have to go and do different activities for the livelihood and things like that, but still they are constantly thinking about how they are, or whether they are doing fine and things like that, right? So if to explain that, it's all part of Krishna's Leela. End of the day, it's totally up to what Krishna wants. He wants it, he demands it. So, and then, once he finished that particular pastime, he has to move on. He moves on and does his own thing, but still, he is situated in the heart, and then he makes people heart in such a way that they are always thinking about him. Either in a good way or a bad way, it doesn't matter. He makes arrangements in such a way that he or she is always thinking about him. So that's Krishna. Does it answer your question?
Yeah.
So. Any other questions? Yeah, sure. So the question Bhavisha is asking that Balaram, the elder brother of Krishna, after the Mahabharata war got over, he went for pilgrimage. Why he actually did that? So the answer is, Balaram was neutral in the Mahabharata war. So because, as you said, he taught the war using the Gada, to both the Kauravas and the Pandavas. He was the teacher for them. So he taught that art both to Duryodhan and also to Bhima. Both the Kauravas and the Pandavas. But what happened was, by Krishna's arrangement, Duryodhana was killed by the Bhima when Bhima hit him in his thigh. So according to the Shastras of the war, a person who is using the mace should not hit someone behind his tummy, stomach. But Duryodhan was very, I would say, smart, cunning smart. So what he did was he got some benediction from his mother Gandhari that his upper part of the body became so strong as a steel. So Bhima was trying to attack him with his mace, but he couldn't kill him. And then Krishna gave him instruction that you should attack him in the thigh. And then he hit him in the thigh and Duryodhana left his body. Balaram was very upset about it because it was against the war's rule. You know, one should not hit someone, you know, in the lower part of the body. That is another reason why Balaram went for a pilgrimage, because he was so upset that the rules of the war was not properly followed. That's another reason. Does that answer your question? Anything else? All right. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.